This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible Filipino nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
We have very special guests who are nurses who have been in the U.S. already for some time, and we can't wait to hear about Darius and CJ's stories and their journeys and their advice for everybody. We're going to start off by, we want you to share with us your story, your experience, before you came to America. Tell us about yourselves. Let's maybe start with CJ.
Hi, good morning again, Ms. Tanya, Ms. Jean, and Darius. So I became a nurse in 2009, and I started my nursing journey to be here. I call it American Dream, so I think everybody call it American Dream. I processed my NCLEX exam 2016, and then luckily I was able to pass the exam that year. And it's my number one goal to be here in the U.S., but unfortunately it took me 7 years to finally make it happen because, you know, 2009, there was so many nurses in the Philippines, and it's very hard to find a job during that time. And I even volunteered for a year in a hospital in our province to have a bedside experience. So second thing, that's why I didn't initially take the NCLEX exam is because I heard that there's retrogression. So I was waiting for the perfect timing to take the exam. And yeah, so I heard from my friend around last quarter of 2015 that US is beginning to open. So 2016, yeah, I decided to pursue my American dream. And yeah, the process for me since passing the NCLEX exam started 2016. So I can say that I'm very lucky because, you know, 2016, I was here August 2019. So it only took me 3.5 years to be here in the U.S. So I know some nurses waited for a decade to be here. And I was very blessed that I only waited for 3 years. But I can say that my process during that time is like really a roller coaster ride. It's a waiting game for me. But initially, when I take the NCLEX exam, I know that it will be a waiting game. So my advice to the nurses that are starting to take the NCLEX and planning to take the NCLEX or just initially pass the NCLEX is to be patient within the process. So everybody will go through the process. There's no shortcut to the process. And, you know, I remember way back then, I really don't know Lifora. I don't know how the process works. So I was very thankful to my friend that introduced me to Lifora because, you know, when I passed the NCLEX, my other friend passed the NCLEX, she was asking me, what's your priority date? I was like, what's that? I don't even know what those terms are. So she told me, what is Lifora? Immediately, I'm not a Facebook person. So I made my Facebook and yeah, I joined Lifora during that time. And Lifora is a good resource for nurses, especially those nurses who don't have the idea what's the process. So I didn't know what's the PD, priority date, and things like that. And, you know, I passed the NCLEX, and my initial goal after passing the NCLEX during that time is to take the IELTS. So my advice is when you pass the NCLEX, it depends on your situation. If you have the money, so definitely take the IELTS because you need that for the visa screen. So during that time, you don't know if the visa bulletin will be moving. So definitely get ready for all the documents that you will need to make your American dream happen. And also for my process, so, you know.
Well, CJ, before you get to your process, I just want to welcome all the nurses that are watching you because you use the word roller coaster, and I think roller coaster is really the appropriate word, and everyone can agree.
Yeah.
So many people who are watching today, Paulo, JM, Myla, Janard, Milanus, Joma, Blessy, Romina, Myra, Elma, Gressel, Daria, Jema, Teresa, Frail, Malala, and I hope I'm saying all the names right, Edgar, Jean, Shajani, Roqui, Nessel, Aimee, Juan, Glacil, Shan, Doyosa, Lomi, Ruth, Mark Anthony, Raquel, Victor, so many people watching today. Please, if you have questions, everybody, put your questions into the chat for the guests, and I will try my best to get through as many questions as possible. CJ, before you move on to the next leg of your journey, let's hear from Darius and hear how his journey began.
Okay, hi everybody. So I have like almost similar story with CJ. So I graduated my bachelor's in 2006. And then after that, I worked for 2 years as a pediatric nurse. And like CJ, I also started as a volunteer because during that time, you know, nursing students, there were a lot of nursing students that time. And it's like a competition, you know, to be able to get into a hospital. And, you know, the only way for you to be hired or absorbed by the facility is for you to start as a volunteer. So I started as a volunteer, then the facility absorbed me. And I worked there for 2.5 years as a pediatric nurse in pediatric ICU. Then I ventured out from my nursing career. I went to, like, maybe a lot of people can relate to me. I also ventured in a BPL company for a year until I was able to get, you know, a job. I became an educator for nurse licensure exam. But unlike CJ, you know, my initial plan was just like to take the NCLEX and not really go to the States. I just want to take the NCLEX so I can teach the NCLEX. You know, it wasn't really in inside my mind, like, to go abroad, work anywhere. I'm happy with, I was basically like, of course, I was happy and thankful with what I did before for many, many years. But I just realized, like, you know, around 2017, I met a previous student who, you know, just introduced, you know, just opened my mind about, like, hey, sir, are you not having, don't you have any plans to go abroad? I mean, you're intelligent, you're experienced. I guess you will be useful in another country. And I just said to myself, like, I'm not really sure yet, but, you know, it sometimes crosses my mind, you know, to work. And of course, like CJ, US is really my target. When someone will ask me if I were to work abroad, which country will I choose? Of course, and I will always say, like, I will work in the US because, you know, I've been hearing, like, a lot of great things. Healthcare is great and all. So just like CJ as well, I started my application, I think, later than CJ's. I started my application, if I'm not mistaken, I could not really forget it. It's February 14, 2017. It was Valentine's Day.
Gift to yourself, Darius. Yeah, and not let it to yourself.
Right, and I was having a date that time in a restaurant. So that's the time that I submitted my application. And I guess USCIS got my application February 2017. And like you, CJ, it was also a roller coaster ride. When I submitted my application, I did not expect that, you know, there are situations like, I only understood when I joined Lifora as well. That's why I told Tanya and Miss Jean before, like, I'm really, really so thankful with that page and with Miss Jean and her admins and her moderators, because they've been really, really helpful. I do not also know before, like what you said, what a priority date means, you know, what an RFE means. And like, when I got all of those emails, like, there's a request for evidence. It's like, what is this? I mean, I don't understand these things. But thankfully, like you said, CJ, Mom Jean and the moderators have, and you know, the discussions within the group page have been really, really helpful for me to understand and comprehend what's going on. And fortunately, like you, it took me 2 years, you know, to wait. Yeah. And like you said, you just really have that patience, because, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, patience produces perseverance, and perseverance produces a character, you know. And, you know, I just felt like in my mind and in my heart, I was just always telling myself, like, if this is for me, this is really for me. So if I am destined to work in the US, I will be in the US. So I'm here right now. So I believe that, you know, like, it's really my destiny to be here. So that's my story.
We love it, Darius. And I love the story that you shared with Jean when we did the pre-show on Sunday. And for those of you who haven't watched, do you want to just talk a little bit about how Jean helped you?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was, I basically, like I said a while ago, I basically passed my NCLEX. I think I am one of the last Philippine students who were able to apply for California Board of Nursing. And, you know, because of the concurrency issues, you know, the subjects, when you want to work to California, they have to measure if this is concurrent with California's curriculum. So I was having a hard time, you know, getting my license, because I don't have an SSN. And I did not know that time that you need to be an immigrant or a citizen to be able to get a social security number and then retrieve your license. So, and then a friend told me, hey, there's a group page, you join this, it's LIFORA. So I was asking, what's LIFORA? So when I opened it, so I see like everybody discussing about it. And I see most of the posts were made by Miss Jean. So I messaged her. I think that is in my other Facebook account. So I messaged Mom Jean. Mom Jean, I have a question. How do I reciprocate my license to Texas? Because I don't have a license. But Mom Jean explained to me that, you know, you just have to show them your pass letter, make sure you meet their requirements, pay all of these. Mom Jean, step by step, she told me about what to do, what fees to be paid, who to contact. So, and you know, she, like I said, LIFORA and Mom Jean herself was one of my great resources to do it. And it gave me like hope that I would be able to, you know, like transfer my license. So luckily I was able to transfer my license to Texas. So I got my license from Texas, and it was that point that I told myself, like, I think God is planning something great for me. So since I got that license endorsement, I guess he is, you know, doing something for me. And, you know, right now I am here in the US. So that's my story about the LIFORA.
I love that, Darius. I really do. I think it's such a beautiful story. And I know Jean was surprised. She didn't even realize, because she helped so many people.
Right.
Helped you. I looked him up in my Facebook and said, this Darius. And then, the last time that I talked to him was like 2019 or 2017.
Correct.
I didn't give a step-by-step instruction. So probably you, as you said, you had another Facebook account.
Yes. I have a, you know, because I used to be an educator before, so I have a previous Facebook account with so many friends. So I had to open up another Facebook account. So maybe you're looking at the second Facebook account. In my first Facebook account, I was asking you a bunch of questions, you know, for my...
and I think that's just the beauty of community, you know, of the community helping each other. I know when I came to America, I came here 20 years ago. On the 4th of July, it was 20 years. Ooh. I always tell the story because it was such a significant date for me. Yours was Valentine's Day, mine was 4th of July. And if it wasn't for the community, or my sister lived here and I had friends that came from South Africa, I would have been like so overwhelmed and so stuck. I would never have been able to manage it. It felt like landing on a new planet. It's like landing on Mars, right?
Yeah.
And it really is a culture shock is a real thing. CJ, do you want to tell us a little bit about the first days of when you arrived in the US, what that was like for you? Any funny stories? Yeah.
So I can really never forget our first day. So I came here with two more nurses from my agency. So, you know, the first day, there are several things we have to accomplish. So the first thing that our agent told us, we have to have our SSN number. And I can remember when we are outside of the building of the SSN office. So there was an American flag outside of the SSN office. Oh, me and my friend was looking at each other. So in the back of our heads, it's like, oh, let's take a picture with the American flag just to know that this is real. This is really happening. So we take a picture. So we are so excited. We are like crazy, like little kids having pictures and everything with the American flag. And yeah, the first day for us was so busy. And our agent was like, we have to accomplish our SSN. We do our fingerprinting. And last thing I can, yeah, we went to our hotel during that day. Mm-hmm. And my expectation when I came here in the US, like, you know, I work and live in Manila. It's a big city, but I was surprised here. I was currently here in the state of Virginia and Virginia Beach and Chesapeake. So when I got here, oh, I was expecting large buildings, tall buildings everywhere. I was like, maybe my perception of America is like that. So it all changed. So I said to me, oh, this is like Tagaytay, if you know Tagaytay way back home, and mm-hmm. Santa Rosa, Nuvali, it's like that, or Baguio. So my state is currently like that, but I love it. I like my state right now. It's very peaceful and very laid back. Yeah. So what I can remember.
A lot of joy and a lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you bring up the state, CJ, because we actually have an exciting announcement for the Lafora Talk Show. We're going to be starting a new segment where we're going to be interviewing guests from different states and talking specifically not about the journey, but more about the state that they live in. Because right. I think in the same way as, you know, both Darius and CJ had said, like, coming to the US, you have to almost learn a new language. Like, what is the priority date? What is the visa bulletin?
Right.
You know, what are all of these things? The same thing about the states, because there's a, you know, the states is huge. It's huge. And it's almost like different countries within a country. So to educate about what is Virginia like, as opposed mm-hmm. to maybe what you've experienced back home, or how does that differ to Texas or where Jean is, or California where I am?
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. If you know a friend or colleague who would benefit from listening to this conversation, please let them know about the show. We want to help as many nurses as we can turn their dreams into a reality. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kineticsusa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.
What about you, Darius? Tell us about your first few days.
Okay, so I have a really, really funny story, and I don't know if, you know, it's a lot of people could relate, but so I guess our departure date, so we were like, I guess nine of, you know, colleagues, you know, went to the States. Our departure date was May 2, and the company that we flew with was I believe it was Cathay Pacific. So our destination was Manila to Hong Kong, and Hong Kong to Chicago. Now, we didn't know that, you know, we were expecting like our check-in baggage will be just transferred, you know, to the next airline because we're heading to Tennessee. But little did we know that we have to carry them, you know, them with us, and then transfer them by ourselves or check in by themselves. So, but we missed that part. So we missed that part where we have to get our baggage and check it in with Delta. So we ended up bringing all of our baggages to the next terminal. So you could just like imagine me and two of my colleagues bringing like five big bags in the shuttle, and like all people are looking at us. They're probably looking at us like we're crazy. So when we arrived at that specific terminal where, you know, going to Tennessee, we don't know what's going on. What are we going to do with these bags? But, you know, luckily and fortunately, a Delta employee was very, very accommodating, and Delta is a very, very good company. So they help us check in our bags, and we almost missed our flight, you know, going to Tennessee. It was stressful, and I could not forget one of my colleagues, even though we are in that kind of predicament or situation, she still wants to take pictures, you know, outside the airport, because it was snowing that time, you know, and even it's May, it was snowing in Chicago. And you know, I just told her, you know, we don't have time for that. We have to check in our bags or we will be left by the plane. So that's our story. And then we arrive in Tennessee. Well, Tennessee, we stayed in Brentwood. It's a very, very nice place. It's near Nashville. Like CJ said, although I researched a little about, you know, what Tennessee is, but at that time, I'm not sure I'm going to be assigned in Gainesville. I am in Gainesville, Georgia, by the way. It's north, 1 hour away, or north part of Atlanta. But it's beautiful in here. We have four seasons, you know. We get to, you know, experience like summer, spring, fall, and winter. And, you know, when it's winter in this place, it's not as bad as, you know, when you're in Minnesota. Not that I'm saying that, you know, I'm lucky or they're very unlucky, but, you know, it's I am just fortunate. Like, this is a place like I did not imagine to be here. I am very, very used to living in places like, you know, where you live, CJ, in Manila, in Cebu. Those are big cities. But when I came here, they're very, very relaxed. You really need to find, you know, like time to drive if you want to go to the nearest mall, if you want to shop. But, you know, it's all worth it. I have no regrets. I love the place. I'm thinking about staying here, but, you know, there are factors that I needed to consider first before fully deciding, you know, to stay here. So, but all in all, my experience was great. My experience was really, really fun. And like you, you know, applying for the socials, getting the driver's license, yeah, you know, taking that exam. I am not a good driver. I don't even drive in the Philippines. So like doing the drive test here in the States was a little bit of challenging for me and for some of my colleagues, but we enjoyed it. And like you, CJ, we also had that, you know, feeling like if this is true, am I just dreaming? Sometimes I pinch myself and I cannot believe, like, you know, I'm already in the US. Like a couple of years ago, I'm just like imagining myself, you know, being here, you know, fantasizing, you know, that I can start to earn dollars. So that's my story. And I hope a lot of people can relate.
And I think that's so inspiring because at the end of the day, you know, you've got this dream that you have for years and years, and you wonder, will I ever get there? And what will it be like? And then when you get there, you're like, I'm here. It's right. So surreal.
Mm-hmm.
So surreal. Tell us about the clinical aspect. How was nursing different from you from a clinical perspective?
Would you want to start with me or with CJ? Do you want to start, CJ?
I can go ahead.
Okay.
So, there's totally a big difference practicing here in the US and in the Philippines. So by the way, my experience way back home is I'm proud to say that I'm working in a government hospital way back home. It's a tertiary hospital. If you guys know Jose Arrest Memorial Medical Center, I'm proud to be part of it. It's like Batang JR, you know, wherein I learned so many skills about it. And I worked there in a med surge and emergency department and the surgical ICU. But my experience is mostly emergency department. So in a clinical perspective, nursing management is pretty much all the same. It's all the theoretical, but the big difference is the technology, especially those here in the US, we are using computerized charting. In the hospital, mm-hmm. we're using Epic, and it's very useful. And way back home, we're still using paper charting. Oh, that's correct. A big problem way back home, those paper charting. You know, we have so many patients in the ED. You can count how many charts you have. And the problem is you might lose their chart. So many resident doctors getting the chart, and you don't know where to find it. And correct. There's important information about it. And the good thing here, it's all computerized. The patient information is all on the computer. You don't have to worry about chart being lost. Yeah, so that's one of the big difference. And yeah, for another one is like the medications. So in the Philippines, you know, if you're familiar with Piptazo, you know, I know you guys are familiar with the Piptazo. The one is very hard to dilute. Here mm-hmm. in the Philippines, you have to exert super effort just to dilute it. You have to exert so many, spend times diluting it, flushing it. And here, I think nurses are very, very, very like comfortable with that because, you know, pharmacy is the one preparing those medications and everything like, for example, potassium, like you have patients correcting for potassium correction. In the Philippines, you need pain NSS. You need a Solicet. Here, it's all pre-made, so it's very easy. You know, and right. In the Philippines also, our supply is not that paired. For example, you have your CTT set. You have to gather the individual instruments, like the tracheostomy tube and the CTT tube. And here you have the CTT set and everything, the dressing set, the IV insertion set, and the Foley catheter insertion set. Everything is like ready. It's all in a one package. So that's the advantage of, for me, that's one I noticed. It's very convenient for nurses, I could say. And in a clinical perspective, for those nurses working here, my advice for nurses here to be very successful is be... have a questioning attitude all the time when you're in the floor. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you don't know everything. So your topmost priority is patient safety. So if you don't know, always ask questions.
Correct.
And second, you must be a team player. Mm-hmm. Always work in a team because you can survive, you know, you can survive on your own. You need someone's help, especially in critical situations, especially patients having cold blue. So you need help. You have extra nurses to help you, and yeah, and be flexible and always have a positive attitude. And and other thing, you must be very respectful to everyone. Respect your patient, top of foremost, respect patient, because in that way patients will also respect you. You have a good relationship, so establish trust with the patient, create respect, a good environment with the patient. So I can say those things are very important when you're in the nursing floor. So yeah, so but never forget, before you go to work, always start with a prayer. Yeah, I always do that every morning before I go to work. Yeah, I want to be, oh Lord, I need to be safe because I want my license to be safe. I want my patient to be safe. So I always pray before I start to work. And so when you're working in the hospital, my best advice also is to come early in the hospital, because in the hospital, you have to read the charts. Here in the Philippines, it's different. Most patients ask questions directly to the doctors. Here in our floor, I currently work in the hospital. So relatives will call you, they will ask you for some updates. And so you have to know most of the important details. So that's why the important reasons why you have to read the patient's charts ahead of time, so that when a family member call, you have the answers and you have research what to do with the patient. So yeah. And other thing is when you're in the patient bedside, I can say the most important thing is always follow the ABCs of life. ABCs of great, ABCs like airway, breathing, and circulations. Always follow that. And you always mm-hmm. have to have critical thinking skills. So prioritization too of seeing your patients. Always prioritize who was the first patient to be seen first, because you know, ABCs, always apply that when you're in the floor. Yeah, that's all.
Those are great tips and great advice. I love how practical and specific you are, right. CJ, because I think that will be helpful.
And
was the clinical side the way you expected it? I mean, you might have heard some of these things before in Manila, or when you were living in the Philippines. Was it that what you expected, or was it very different to what you thought it was going to be like from a clinical perspective?
From the clinical perspective, because I was working in my hospital way back home, I can say that I see so many patients here. I can say that here the patients are more benign because I'm not working in the ED. Here I'm working in a cardiac telemetry unit. So like here in the Philippines, if the patient is intubated, some of them stays in the ward. But here in the US, they need to be in the ICU. So probably because of the healthcare system way back home, because the lack of beds in my previous hospital. So I think patients are more safe here because, you know, if you're intubated, you'll be in the ICU setup. In the Philippines, you have to wait for the beds. They can see mm-hmm. in the ICU, you will stay there. So it's very unfortunate for patients being in a ward and the ED, just waiting for the bed to be free in the ICU setup. So yeah. And also here in the Philippines, you know, you work in the hospital. I experienced having one. I am the single nurse. It was night shift. I got 50 or 60 patients during that night. Here, the maximum patients you can have in the nurse hospital setting is five or six patients. So I think the nurse patient ratio is very, very nice in here in the US because, you know, you want your license to be safe. That's why you're here. You need to earn money. You have to protect your license. So I think it's very safe to nurses having that nurse patient ratio. So
yeah, that's really interesting, the things that were a surprise for you. Jean and Darius, did you also have like certain things that's, I know Darius is going to tell us about his experience on the clinical side, but were there things that surprised you that you didn't expect?
Yes. Well, like what CJ said, in a clinical perspective, he did mention the same things that, you know, I would like to mention the charting. You know, we're also using Epic, you know, so everybody has, we're using electronic health system or electronic health records, so everybody can see the chart. I mean, unlike in the Philippines, we still do paper charting, but the only disadvantage with the electronic health charting, as I know, is like everybody could get access and, you know, privacy might be violated. But, you know, here in the States, we're trying our best to make sure that we're not violating HIPAA rules. So in a clinical perspective, I would say that here in the US, we treat patients aggressively and, of course, safely, and how we treat our patients in the Philippines. One of the things that really, really surprised me and confused me at first while I was working on the floor is, you know, when they have rapid responses. Here in the States, they have like rapid response teams. So they have this specific team, a group of doctors or nurse practitioner, respiratory therapists, phlebotomies, and ICU nurses who just, you know, respond to any distress call. Like you can call them at any time if you are, you know, if you do your assessment and you're seeing some, you know, not good signs to your patient, you can always call a rapid response team and they will rush, you know, going to the patient, do all of these stuff. And the first thing that really surprised me, and, you know, it was also confusing on my part, like an advanced practitioner or nurse practitioner was, you know, doing all the things, you know, and he or she's not even a doctor. And, you know, but he can order things, you know, he could tell you things what to do and et cetera, et cetera. So it was actually, like you said, Tanya, it was like, it's also a surreal experience, you know, having to be, you know, realize that, you know, an advanced care practitioner or nurse can do this. So it actually inspired me. That's why I'm in school right now.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us by hitting the follow button on your podcast player and leaving us a review. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kinetics.usa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.